2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, and if you're really clever, one day you'll learn it by heart. Now this is how it goes. It's Peter the Apostle writing, and he says this: "And we have the prophetic word made more sure. You will do well to pay attention to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." So we call this little meditation, Watching for the Dawn. A memory test. First of all, who said, "I dare not marry, the future is so unsettled"? Could it have been Bernard Levin of the Times? Or might it have been Edward Heath, former Prime Minister? Well, it wasn't. It was in 1805, William Pitt, then Prime Minister of England. No, it wasn't. It was William Wilberforce, who was then an MP back in 1801. It was William Pitt who said my second quote: "There is scarcely anything round about us but ruin and despair." Well, it might have been anybody. It might have been John Smith, leader of the opposition. It might have been anybody. But in fact, it was William Pitt, way back, 1805. 1844, who said this: "In industry, commerce, and agriculture, there is no hope." Well, that might have been said today. In fact, it was 1844, Benjamin Disraeli was one of our statesmen at that time. It's very interesting, isn't it? It only goes to show that the world is never without its particular set of problems at any one moment. I mean, you've only got to get hold of parish magazines of England of 60 years ago, 70 years ago, and you find the vicars writing in their parish magazines about these difficult times in which we live. See, they've always been difficult. The Bible is very, very realistic. It never promises a utopia. Never. It never says we're going to have achievable here on earth, a perfect society towards which we are heading. It never promises it. Never. Oh, the Marxist dream was along that line, wasn't it? A utopian ideal achievable here on this world. It's been smashed to smithereens. Christians don't think like that one little bit. Because the Bible doesn't. The Bible is very realistic. What it does do is to hold out a way by which the believer can steer a course through the pitfalls with the sure and certain confidence of reaching the appointed destination. So I like this very much. Peter here writing to a group of scattered believers having an extremely rough time. These difficult times in which we live, they were having difficult times. And he says to them there about that, first of all, that what he's saying to them has not been made up. It's not cleverly devised myths. He said, why? He said, we were eyewitnesses of the majesty of Jesus Christ on the mountain. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says that we heard the voice from heaven that was born to him: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Peter says, I was there. I heard it. And then he goes on to say, and we have the prophetic word made more sure. And here's the text: "You will do well to pay attention to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The transfiguration, of course, was what prepared those disciples for the darkness of the cross. And then it also gave them that portrayal of the final glory in miniature. And I love these words that follow. That we have the prophetic word made more sure, says Peter. The Bible boffins try to work out what he means by that. And we'll talk about that in just a minute or two. But it's a good sentence for a new year. Lock into it as we eke out these last few minutes of 1992. 2 Peter 1:19. First of all, it talks about the Bible lamp. There's the lamp of the Bible. What's the word again? Let's have a look at it. And we have the prophetic word made more sure. Now, as I looked at the Bible boffins to see how they interpreted that verse, they say, what it's doing is saying, we got something even better than what Peter had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, you'd say, surely there's nothing better than that. To see Jesus in his glory, Scripture says, yes, there's something even better, is to have the Bible that's always with you. So you could translate it, we have a word of prophecy yet more sure. The Scriptures. Of course, they were talking about the Old Testament Scriptures then. And Peter is saying, if you've got that, then you've got a lamp that's going to guide you all the way through the dark times. And that was more compelling than a single narrated event in the life of Peter, great as the event of the Transfiguration was. Peter says, you've got something better, much more lasting, to be with you all the time, the truth of the Scriptures. So we can't overemphasize the regard that the Jews of old had to the ancient Scriptures. And now, of course, as we add the New Testament Scriptures, why, we're doubly rich. You've got the Bible? Got it at home, have you? We pay attention to it? We're supposed to do that. Let's do it right the way through this year, coming again and again to the truth of the Bible, shining in a dark place. So the Bible lamp, that's what's going to help us more than anything else. The truths of this supposedly old book undergirding our life, our decisions, our relationships, our plans, strengthening us when things go wrong, as they will do from time to time. And I guess that there are some of us here who've had really some difficult moments in 1992. Well, what held us was the anchor point of the Scriptures that's been in our hearts and lives. The Bible lamp. I like very much what George VI said in that great Christmas broadcast, December 25th, 1939, shortly after the outbreak of World War II, quoting from a lady called Minnie Louise Haskins. He said this in the broadcast. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness, and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, and safer than a known way. So we take the Scriptures. And as we take the Scriptures, God's word is there in our hands. And as we feed upon it, in our hearts. The Bible lamp. Then secondly, here there's the coming dawn. That's what I read about. What does it say? You'll do well to pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. The coming dawn. This is a reference to the coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. I'm sure that's what it's referring to. As Paul the Apostle puts it elsewhere in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. He's talking about the coming back of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. What is your view of the future? How strong is your view of the future? If you've got a very inadequate view of the future, you can be absolutely sure that you won't be able to make sense of the present. But if we've got a sure view of what the future holds, then the present will throb with significance. It will make sense. We shall find ourselves knowing why we're doing a particular thing in life and what fires us, what motivates us. A lot depends on what we see in the future. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, was once asked, are you an optimist or a pessimist? He said, I'm an optimist. And then they said, why? He said, because I've read the last page in the Bible. If we've read the last page in the Bible, if we've got these tremendous affirmations about the future in our hearts, about the coming of Christ at the end of the age, and how history is going to end up in him, and in his rule as it sweeps in to take over from the politicians and the military people and everybody else. Why then, we surely will have that flame burning in our own lives. Then life is worth living. I know what I'm heading towards. The coming dawn. I've read the last page in the Bible. So whatever does happen politically in this world, we don't know what the next few months holds for us, or for Europe particularly. My favourite building at the moment in Moscow is the KGB. When I look at it, I was there 2.5 months ago, great cross standing outside it. And they took down the statue of the former head of the KGB just over a year ago, Dzerzhinsky. They put up the cross in its place. And I think of the words of that hymn, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time." The cross is there at the moment, outside. It may not always be there. Nevertheless, the truth of this scripture helps us enormously. The coming dawn. That's what we're heading towards. The return of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. Do you believe that? I'm sure many of us do, as we sit and think and reflect about the changing of the year. Or about old age. Okay, what does this year hold for us as we get a little bit older, some of us? George Beverly Shea, the great singer, who has sung to more people than Frank Sinatra. He was once sang in this church one Sunday morning. When he was 80, on his 80th birthday, somebody said to him, "Is there anything left for you to do? Do you think about the future?" "Yes," he replied, "I do think about it. And I think that as you reach 80, just keep the smile on your face. Let other people know that you are okay, even if you have a pain somewhere. That smile radiates and touches others. Enjoy it. Enjoy 80. He said, "I like those words. Fear not tomorrow. God is already there." The Bible lamp. The coming dawn. Lastly, the inner glow. I think that's here, this sentence. "You will do well to pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The old classical poets, when they referred to the morning star, they meant Venus. We're really referring again to Christ. We're still speaking in the terms of the second coming? Yes, we are. The morning star is Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 verse 16. He says, "I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star." That's Jesus. It's in the context of his return. It's a messianic star referred to in a prophecy back in Numbers chapter 24 verse 17. "A star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." The messianic star is Jesus. You might say, but then how can it refer to the second coming if the star is to rise in our hearts? Because here in this scripture, it's referring to the glow of anticipation in the lives and convictions of believers. Yes, when Christ comes back, it'll be a day in the calendar. Every eye will see him. It'll be a public event. Everybody will see it happen. It'll be an objective event. And yet, we anticipate that now in our hearts as 1993 dawns and goes on. The star, the morning star, rising in our hearts, creating that glow of anticipation. Gives us motivation for the task in hand. Gives us confidence in the darkness. We don't know what this year holds. There may be the darkness of bereavement. Or maybe of not being as well as we should be. Or maybe a tremendous uncertainty about our work and jobs and things like that. Or family anxieties. To have that morning star rising in our hearts tells us Jesus Christ is world master. And if he's world master, then he's in charge of my life, as I hand the keys of my life to him. I love the words we've just been reading. Make them your own words. I can visualize the walk down to the footlights of the entire ensemble in the musical Les Misérables, bringing Victor Hugo's Portrait of Life and Death in revolutionary 19th century France to its culminating words of hope for the future. Remember how the song goes? Do you hear the people sing? Lost in the valley of the night. It is the music of a people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end when the sun will rise. Do you hear the people sing? Say, will you hear the distant drums? It is the future that they bring as tomorrow comes. The Bible lamp, illumination, the watchword. The coming dawn, culmination, the watchword as Jesus Christ comes back at the end of history. The inner glow, expectation, is the watchword. The best for the Christian always lies ahead. It's a good text for a new year as we watch for the morning star. You will do well to pay attention to this. As to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now let's be prayerful. I'll be your chaplain, lead you in prayer. Give thanks again for this past year. Some of us, you know, are new believers. We've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ during these past 12 months. It's your first new year as a believer. Give thanks for that. Others of us have learnt important lessons. Somebody here who's been a believer 40 years ago today. She became a follower of Christ here in this place. What a wonderful anniversary. I can see a man in church who's our missionary to the show business world. Remember meeting him on Wimbledon Common years ago. And he was a brand new believer. Nigel Goodwin. It's good to have him here. Let's give thanks for what it means if we belong to Christ at all. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And be with us, O God, as we go out in your name into a new year. May the lips that have sung your praises always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship and service, be always pleasing to you for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.